God, please. Appreciate you doing that. Try to bring what God's given us for today. I certainly hope it'll be a help to our life. Amen. I'll tell you, if we'll take the Word of God and tuck it away in our heart, it will help us. It will help us. If we hide God's Word in our heart, that we might not sin against Him, it'll help us out. Amen. All right, the book of James this morning. The book of James, please, and chapter number 1. The book of James and chapter number 1. I feel just a little squeezed this morning. We'll just lighten up a little bit, loosen up. Amen. And let God have His way with us. I've come to worship, and I intend to do that to the best of my ability. God will let me. James and chapter number 1. And I want to begin reading. I probably should read a lot more, but I'll, for the sake of time, we'll begin reading in verse number 19. James says there, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Amen. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Let's pray together. Ask God's help this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you this morning for the good mercies of God. Thank you for your wonderful grace that hath brought salvation, and thank God it had appeared unto all men. We thank you that you give more grace, give grace to the humble. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us this morning to humble our hearts in your presence. I'd ask you, Lord, to speak to us as your dear children. Give me grace this morning to stand, Lord, the best I can. Preach that which you've laid upon my heart. I pray for your people this morning, that God, that their needs would be met, their hearts would be lifted. Their souls would be blessed. I pray, Lord, for their spiritual needs as well as their physical needs, their loved ones as well. I ask you to give grace now. May your name be glorified and magnified this morning. I pray for power and liberty and unction to preach today, that precious souls might be saved, and, Lord, that your people might be revived and refreshed in the Word of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. You may be seated. All right. Dear Brother James is writing here to what is called a general epistle. And it is written to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. If you look through it, you will not find any of the real doctrines of grace that Paul speaks about in his writings. And that's because James died about 62 A.D. But he did write this book before he went on to be with the Lord. And rather than having real church doctrine in this book, he gives us a lot of general information, a lot of general instruction. And so he does here in chapter number 1 in the text that I read to you this morning. And what he's doing here is making a contrast between those that hear the Word of God and then become doers of that Word, and those that hear the Word and fail to do anything that they're taught to do out of the Bible. And he said there in verse number 23, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man," notice these words, "is like unto a man beholding his natural face." Mark that little word, face. "Beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, having said what I've said this morning, I want to try to take this thought, and I told Miss All the jaws will probably fall open when I mention the title of my message this morning. But I want to preach for a little while, and I hope none of you get mad, but if you do, you can get glad again. Amen. That's the way I feel about it. But I want to preach a little while this morning, if God will help me, on God's Facebook. God's Facebook. He said there in that word, he said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. And he mentioned in the verse before that, he talked about in verse number 23, that a man that beholds his natural face in a glass. So I want to preach a little while on God's Facebook. Now, I don't have no bones about it, that the heart, the thought was given to my heart when I started hearing some things about what's going on what's called Facebook.
Amen.
They've come out with MySpace and my face, and next it'll be outer space. And as far as I'm concerned, the Facebook, now if you get mad, you can get glad. The Facebook on the internet is no more than another tool that the devil has used to sow seeds of sin in the hearts of people. Now I'm going to be honest, if I were some of you young people in here, I would be utterly ashamed of some of the things that I've written in Facebook. You think that other people can't see what you're saying. But I'm telling you that they can. And some of the things that I've been told that has been written on there is absolutely wicked and sinful and ungodly. You know what you're doing when you get on that thing and write things like you do? You're doing no more than hanging your dirty laundry out for every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the country to look at. That's right. And you can say, well, it's all in fun. You may think it's all in fun, but I'm telling you, everybody don't take it in fun. And I'll guarantee you that God does not take it in fun. I've heard about some things being on there now that have got no business being on there. And I'm going to tell you that you parents that allow your children on there, you better take a second thought in what's going on. You better take a look at what's going on. Come on in the house, boys and girls. I'm telling you, it is no good. It's rotten to the bone. And I know it's on the internet. And I know WSOF's on the internet. But I'm telling you that, hey, there's a billion good things on that internet. But I'm going to tell you something else. There's a billion things out of hell on there just as well. And when people, hey, I don't mind people using that thing as a family piece to get together with family members. But I'm going to tell you something. When people begin to get on there and hang out their dirty laundry, amen, and carry on in an ungodly manner, it ought not to be. It ought not to be. And we call it Facebook. And you know why it's called Facebook? It's because it shows your face for what you really are. Everybody sees you for what you really are. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can look on a man's face a whole lot and tell what's going on in his heart. I can look on a man's face if he's angry and tell that he's angry. In his heart, I can look on a man's face, tell if he's got something on his mind. I can tell it by looking on his face. I'm telling you, the Facebook tells what's going on in your heart.
Amen.
Come on in the house now. Amen. Hallelujah to God. We won't be long on that. But I won't preach on God's Facebook. I'd rather be on God's Facebook than I would be on the internet's Facebook. It'll do a whole lot more for you. Somebody said, preacher, what on heaven's name will you see if you look in God's Facebook? Well, I'm going to say, first of all, that you'll see the face of self. If you look in the mirror of the Word of God, you're going to see self. Now, that's why a whole lot of people don't like to read the Word of God, because they know that their deeds are evil. And that Bible is light, And they will not come to that light because their deeds are evil. Amen. And I'm going to say, you can't read the Bible and keep from seeing in that Bible exactly what you are. You know how I know God wrote that book and not man? Somebody said, man wrote that book. You're crazy. Man may have penned it down, but it came from the heart of God. It's God breathed. Now, I'm going to tell you why man didn't write it. He'd have said everything good about himself. But I'm going to tell you, I can tell you that God wrote it because he says everything that's wrong with man. Tells everything that is bad about man and sinful about man. That's why people don't want to look in that Bible. They'll see their self in that Bible for what they are and the sin that they've committed for what it is. And they have no desire to know that these days. Look in God's Facebook and you'll see self. Now somebody said, preacher, if I see myself, what will I see in that Bible, Will? And I said, you'll see yourself because of the verses that I just read. For he beholdeth himself. And goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Amen. And so if you look in there, you're going to see yourself. Now somebody said, how am I going to see myself? Well, first of all, you're going to see yourself dead in sin. That Bible said in Ephesians 2:1, for you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now I'm going to tell you, people don't like to hear that today. They don't like to hear that man is totally depraved. They want to believe that there's a little spark of divinity in everybody. And all you've got to do is fan that spark a little bit and let it begin to burn. And it'll burn and man will get saved. I'm going to tell you there's only one thing wrong with that. It's a lie out of hell. It's a lie of the devil. There's no man with any spark of divinity whatsoever in him. He is totally depraved. He is dead in trespasses and sins. And if you read that Bible, you won't have any problem figuring that out. As I look through the life of Jesus on this earth, he came upon man after man and woman after woman, and they were all dead in trespasses and sins when he came upon them. Amen. That's right. Now, people don't like to see themselves like that. They want to think good about themselves. How good I really am and so forth. They don't want to read that Bible because they'll see themselves dead in their sin. Now, I want to say if a man's dead in his sin, number one, he's helpless. He's a helpless man. I think about that man in John chapter number 5. And you don't need to turn there if you don't want to. But there was a man in John chapter 5. Jesus went by the pool of Bethesda. And when he got there, he saw a great multitude of impotent people. They were people waiting for the angel to trouble those waters. And by the way, I believe that literally. Waiting for the angel to trouble those waters that they might step in. And the Bible said they that stepped in first would be made whole. Well, Jesus saw a man there that had been afflicted in an infirmity for 38 years. And here's what the Lord asked that man when he saw him. I'm talking about seeing people. I'm talking about seeing things. When the Lord saw him lie and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And here's what the impotent man said. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. I have no man that when the water is troubled to help me, but somebody steppeth in before I do, and they're made whole rather than me. And I'm paraphrasing some of that. And Jesus looked on him and said, wilt thou be made whole? And he said, arise and take up thy bed and walk. And I got news for you. That man took up his bed and walked. Hey, there was a man that was helpless. But while he was helpless, I'm glad, thank God, that help came to him. When he was so helpless, he couldn't get help. But thank God, help came to him. And when no man was there to help him, there was a man that cared for his soul. Hallelujah. That's right, isn't it? Thank God. Amen. That's right. You might see yourself helpless, but there's help on the way. That's where a lot of folks are blinded at. They see themselves helpless in that Bible, but they don't see the help. But there is help in a man by the name of Jesus. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul said. And that he did. And so I got to hurry along. So if you see yourself dead in trespassing sins, you'll see yourself helpless. I won't say secondly, you'll see yourself hopeless. No hope. Look at Ephesians with me, chapter number 2. And I'm going to give you scripture. We'll just take time and read scripture. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 11. That Bible said, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh." And he's writing to us Gentiles, not to the Jews. He said, "Who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Hey, Paul said you were hopeless. There was no hope because you were without God. Oh, but I thank God for verse number 13 where the Bible said, But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thank God they that were hopeless because they were afar off from God, but now they have been made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to tell you what grabbed me about verse number 13 I've never seen before. He said, "But now." And I'm going to tell you something. Tomorrow it'll still be now. Next week it'll still be "but now." Next month it'll still be "but now." Next year it'll still be "but now." Throughout all eternity it'll be "but now." Thank God now is always in the present tense, and now we have been made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ain't going to change that word "now," friend. But now. Amen. Thank God for that. We were hopeless and helpless. But now we've been made nigh, brought nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say, thirdly, if you look at yourself, you could see a hearer. James is talking about being a hearer of the Word of God. All you that are sitting here this morning are hearers of the Word of God. And may I say to you that everything that you hear, you're responsible for to do. The problem comes in when we hear and don't do. You know what that's called? That's called disobedience. That's called disobedience to God. When we fail to hear and don't do. In fact, James said, if you hear and don't do, you're deceiving your own self. You're thinking you're doing something when you're absolutely doing nothing. It is the doers of the Word of God that is blessed. And so if you look, you'll see hearers of the Word of God. If you also look at yourself, you'll see holiness. Somebody said, "Preacher, how is that?" Well, he said in verse number 25 of our text, he said, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed." You know why? That's a saved man. I'm glad I can get up and look in the mirror this morning or tomorrow morning. And I can look on the face of a man that one time was helpless, that one time was hopeless, but thank God one time I heard. And that Bible said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when I heard that Word of God and put it away in my heart, God made me whole. And I'm going to tell you something, you can like that or love that, but when a saved man looks in the mirror every morning, he sees a holy man. Hallelujah. And when we look at that Bible and we're saved by the grace of God, we don't have to see ourselves as helpless and hopeless. We can see ourselves as holiness unto the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Thank God. I know that's right. Now I won't say secondly. You better ride with me. I won't say secondly. You look in there, you'll not only see God's Facebook, you'll not only see the face of self. By the way, you'll see face, not bare butts.
Amen.
And cleavage. And bikinis. And vulgar words. And vulgar insinuations. And vulgar gestures. Amen. Somebody said, "I don't like that." Well, I don't like that. So I guess we're both even. You don't like that, and I don't like that. Amen, that's right. And it's not the kids' fault, it's the parents'. And some of the parents is just as bad as the kids are. I better get off of that. Amen. I'll tell you something else. If you look in the God's Facebook, you'll see the face of sinners. The face of sinners. I thought about that blind man. Thought about that blind man in John chapter number 9. If you look into the God's Facebook, you're going to see sinners that are blind. That Bible said in John chapter number 9 and verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And the disciples asked him, said, who did sin, this man or his parents? Now, they knew that all men are sinners. But they're talking about who done the great sin that this man is blind. In other words, what did he do or what did they do that made him blind? And Jesus said he hadn't sinned or they hadn't sinned. Said, but this man is blind for the glory and honor of God. I'm going to tell you what Jesus done. The Bible said there in verse number 5. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And then the Bible said that when he had spoke that, he spat on the ground. He spit on the ground. And he made spit and mud and put it on that man's eyes. And told him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. You know what? That Bible said that he went to that pool and washed. And came seeing and received his sight. And I stopped this morning, I tell you yesterday, and I thought about those verses there. Why did Christ put in that text before he healed that man? Well, why did he say, I am the light of the world as long as I'm in this world, I'm the light of the world? And then there's this blind man there. No doubt that had been blind from birth. May I say to you this morning that that man had never seen light. He had never seen light. And I can prove to you in that chapter, if I want to take time and I may just do it, that he saw spiritual light before he ever saw worldly light. Because when he went back home and people said, some of them said, that's him. Others said, no, that's not him. That somebody looks like him. He said, no, but I'm him. Amen. Pharisees didn't like that. Because Jesus had healed that man. They went to his parents and asked his parents. They said, he's our child. He was born blind. They said, how he sees, we don't know. And the Pharisees went to him and asked him twice. And he began to deal with them about Jesus. They said, well, you're his disciples, but we're Moses' disciples. And here's what it says in that book. They kicked him out and run him off. Amen. But here's what it says in that book in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Get this. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Now get this. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him. When did he see him? He hadn't seen him till right then. Right. Jesus said, you have both seen him. Amen. And it is he that talketh with thee. When did he see him? I'm going to tell you when he seen him. When he was blind. And God spiritually opened up his eyes. That's when he seen him. He got his first glimpse of life when Jesus opened that old boy's eyes up and saved him by the marvelous grace of Almighty God. And he said, hey, you have both seen him, and it's him that talketh with thee. And boy, here's the verse that got me. Shame on us. God, have mercy on us! Amen. That next verse has been gripping my heart ever since I read it. It said, and he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. I want to ask you something this morning. I wonder where our worship is at. Amen. Where is our worship really at? Amen. That Bible said, he said, I believe. And the fact that he believed and had faith caused him to worship the Lord. Amen. He wasn't a bit ashamed to show his faith in Christ and to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Amen. He didn't have any problem worshiping him. And Jesus didn't have any problem receiving that worship. Proven in fact that he was very God. And he was very God. I want to ask you, where's our worship this morning? If I want to ask you all to stand up and Tell me what you think worship is. I'd get 25 or 30 different answers of what worship really is. Now, I don't have time today to go into it. But I can tell you one thing. Whatever it is, we're not doing it.
Amen.
Worship is not necessarily swinging from the chandelier. A monkey can swing from these lights. Horseman, God's not altogether in running. Anybody can run if they've got two legs and health. It's not necessarily in how loud you can shout. But I'm telling you, worship is engaging your heart with the heart of God. And allowing God, amen, into your life in such a way that He and He only is your primary concern and the light in this present life that we're living in. Amen. That's right. Is He our only the light? So when you see sinners, you look into God's Facebook, you might see them blind. I'll tell you something else, you might see them broken. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean broken?" Well, I think of the death of Lazarus. When Christ went down to Bethany and He met there Mary and Martha. Of course, He met Martha first and told her about the fact He was the resurrection and the life. But then He met Mary in verse number 32. And said Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him. She fell down at His feet saying unto Him, "Lord, if Thou hadst been here, our brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, get that now, when He saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid Him?" They said unto Him, "Lord, come and see." And that next little old verse says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Why on earth was He weeping? I'm going to tell you why. He was weeping over broken-hearted sinners. Right. I'm going to tell you something. If we look into the Bible, I know we're not reading our Bibles today. If we was looking into the perfect law of the liberty of God, we'd be like the Lord and we would see man out there for what he is, and that is a sinner, not only a sinner that is blind, but a sinner that is broken in heart and in spirit. Oh, and I'm telling you, today we can shed no tears for sinners at all. Even those that are close loved ones, we can shed no tears for sinners. May God have mercy on our soul. I mean it, Brother Steve. May God have mercy on our soul. There's people all around us. And I'm going to get to this in a minute. We ain't going to get that without it. There's people all around us that are dying in their sins and going to hell, and we can't even shed a tear about that. We can't look in that book and see where men were dying and going to hell and get a tear in our eye for them. Amen. I'm going to tell you why it's wrong. It's because our heart is not like Christ. It's not broken over them.
Amen.
And we can't see their brokenness. You go to most funerals today and it's a joke. Just laugh and giggle and carry on, sit in a smoke room and suck on cigarettes. They'll pass by the coffin and say, "Looks just exactly like him." Wonder who they expected him to look like. They'll laugh and giggle. There ain't many shedding tears. Now I'm going to tell you, see two ladies here that were sisters to Lazarus, and they both were weeping. They both were shedding tears. And Christ saw their broken heart. God help us today to look into God's Facebook and see the broken heart of sinners that live without God and without hope today.
Amen.
Man, can somebody say amen right there? And I want to say, thirdly, you see the face of sinners who are blind and broken, but you'll see the sinner face of a sinners who are begging. I thought of old Bartimaeus in Mark chapter. In Mark chapter number 10. I thought of old blind Bartimaeus.
Amen.
Bible said there in verse 46, "And they came to Jericho. And as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Begging. Sat by the highway side begging. Somebody said, oh, I'd never beg. I will for one crumb from the master's table. That Syrophoenician woman was a beg for one crumb. Lazarus, laid at the gate of the rich man, was a beggar. Bartimaeus was a beggar. So I said, oh, I'm not a beggar. I've got news for you, spiritually speaking. All lost men and women, they're beggars in the eyes of God. And until you realize that, you're never going to get born again. You know what's keeping you from it? P-R-O-U-D, pride is what will keep you from it. Well, I'm too proud to beg. I'm not. I've told you the story. Some of you never heard it. When I was in Bible college, an old mountain preacher came by and preached to us in chapel one night. He said one day, he said he had this old hound dog. Said he went out and sat down on his back porch, and that old hound dog come up and laid down and started licking on his hand. I said, get out of here, you know, run the old dog. It wasn't long that old dog come back, was licking on his hand again. Said, get out of here. Said the third time that old dog come back and went licking on his hand, said the Holy Ghost spoke to him, said, leave him alone. Said he's worshiping you. Said he realizes you're the one that feeds him.
Amen.
You're the one that takes care of him.
Right.
And all he is doing is laying down there like a beggar, licking your hand in worship of you. Oh, and I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If we'd ever stop and consider the fact that Christ is the one that sustains us. Christ is the one that provides for us. Christ is the one that feeds us not only spiritual food, but natural food as well. Christ is the one that takes care of us. I'll guarantee you we'd find ourselves as beggars. We wouldn't have any problem laying down and licking His hand and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Somebody said, I'd never lick His hand. Then you'll die and go to hell. I'm telling you, friend, there's coming a day when never kneel, bow, never confess that He's Lord and the glory of God.
That's right.
Are y'all listening now? Old Bartimaeus hollered out and cried out. And he called for the Lord. The Lord called for him, stood still and called for him. And he threw away his old garment. Went to the Lord, and the Lord asked him, what can I do for you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And he did. Have you ever looked in the book and thought about sinners? We was talking about Stephen in there this morning. We was talking about how that we can get so discouraged trying to talk to people and tell them about Christ. Tell them about their eternal soul, where they're going to spend eternity, and how discouraging it can get. And I guarantee you, it can get discouraging. Though every now and then God will reward us just a little bit. Do you realize that the Bible said that Jesus was going out of Jericho, he never passed by that way again. I wonder how many, had Bartimaeus not got in, he wouldn't have got in. You can believe what you want to believe, but I'll tell you, a sinner will get saved when God passes by, not his hill. God passed by his way that day. Can you imagine what it would have been had Jesus passed by and Bartimaeus sat there and not cried out, not begged, and not got in? I'm going to tell you what, it had died and went to hell. And if we ever look in God's Facebook, we'll see sinners, ladies and gentlemen. And some of them, I'm afraid that God has passed them by for the last time. God has spoken to their heart for the final time. Many of them have been turned over to a reprobate mind because they've rejected and put off. And I'll tell you, the more you hear, the more you're responsible for. And if you don't become a doer of what you hear, God said you will give an account for it. You're like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He goes his way. Forgets what kind of a man he was.
Amen.
Can I put that in perspective? He said a religious man will look into see his natural face in a glass. And by the way, a glass in those days was a mirror.
Right.
He'll just look into a glass as a natural man, and he'll see himself, and he'll go his way. And you know what? He'll see himself as a sinner. He'll see himself as blind. See himself as a beggar. See himself as burdened. He'll see himself as all those things, lost, dead in trespasses and sins. And he'll see himself in that. And he said, hey, he'll just go his way and get what the Bible said. And not that he'll forget what he is. He forgot what he was.
Amen.
A man that forgets what he was before God ever got a hold of him has got a problem in his life. Come on. Say amen or oh me. God help us if we forget what we were when Christ found us.
Amen.
Brother Herbert, I don't ever want to forget it. I'm not ashamed to say that I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
I'm a sinner saved by grace, thank God. It's grace all the way.
Amen.
I don't have any problem with that. I'm a beggar.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I'm a beggar licking the hand of Jesus. Better believe that. Woo! Amen. Thank God. I've not forgotten Hall's Corner Road. I've not forgotten where I used to live. And what I used to be. And I won't say I'm a used to be. It's shame to be a used to be, but it's greater shame to be a was. You'll catch that after a while.
Amen.
Thank God. Stay right with me. We look into God's Facebook. We'll not only see the face of self and the face of sinners, but we'll see the face of souls going to hell. I think about that Lazarus and that rich man in Luke chapter number 16. The Bible said that the rich man, what we've heard sumptuously every day, had fine linen. Lazarus was laid at his gate full of sores. The dogs came begging the crumbs, and the dogs came and licked his sores. The Bible said that Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. I want you to get a hold of what I'm getting ready to tell you. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. He lifted up his eyes in torments and he saw.
Amen.
Hadn't seen anything until he got in hell. But when he got in hell, he began to see. The Bible said that he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Here's my first thought. And he cried out. He cried out. You know what? You know what I think was on his face? Hey, he said, I'm tormented. I'm tormented in this flame. And you know what that torment brought? That torment brought fear. That man said, the Bible said that man cried out to Abraham. You know why he cried out? I believe he was in fear. I'm going to tell you, neighbor, a man or a woman dies and goes to hell. They're going to a place that they've never seen before. They're going to a place that they've never been before. And they're going to a place that is the most horrible place that has ever been created in heaven and earth. That's a place called hell. And they'll see things there they have never seen before in their life.
Right. Amen.
Oh, and these big tough guys want to be buried with their beer cans and all this in there. And buried with their motorcycles and one thing or another. And they're going to, you know, they're going to get up there, get down there and have a good time and drink a few Bud Lights with their buddies. Ain't going to be no Bud Lights. There wasn't even any water for him. The last time I had that water to make Bud Light. But in fear. In fear. I want to ask you something this morning. Do you reckon if we would look into God's Facebook that we might see the face of some soul that's dying and going to hell and look through the veneer on their face and see the fear that's in their heart of dying and going to that horrible place where the worm dieth not and where the fire shall never be quenched, the Bible says.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to tell you something. Sinners don't have much of a fear of hell today, buddy. He didn't either. But he feared it when he got there.
That's right.
First thing he did was cried out.
Amen.
It doesn't say he just talked. He cried out. That torment brought fear.
Amen.
And he was tormented. He was tormented by the flame. in verse number 24. And I just read, he cried and said unto Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. That's right. Tormented in the flame. In the flame. I looked at that word flame. You know what it means? It means a flash or a flame or a fire. I don't give a rip what Billy Graham said about there not being a hell, about there not being a literal fire in hell. Oh, if you believe the Bible, you've got to believe that there's a fire in hell. He said, I'm tormented in this flame.
Amen.
I wonder if we can look past their veneer, ladies and gentlemen, and look past their outer garments and what they wear and what they look like, and see in them a heart of a man that's dying and going to hell without God and without hope, where they'll be tormented in the flame forever.
Amen.
And you'll notice he didn't say flames. He said flame.
Right.
Now, I don't want to split theological hairs. I want to make sure I'm right when I say this. I forgot where my glasses are. But he cried out in verse 24 and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Let Lazarus come and dip his finger in water. For I'm tormented, you may cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Thank you, my brother. It said in verse number 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. I can't find exactly what I'm looking for. I may not have read it exactly right. But here's my thought on it anyway. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. Not flames, but flame. Singular. I believe every word in the Bible is God-breathed, and God put it there just like He wanted. You know why I believe He said flame? I believe every person that dies and goes to hell will have their own personal flame.
Amen.
You can believe what you want to believe, friend. They'll be in their own flame. Tormented there.
Amen.
Day and night tormented there. I wonder if you and I could get off of the internet Facebook and look in God's Facebook and see sinners that are there go in there going to be tormented in a flame of fire for all eternity. Can we see that?
Amen.
Can we see through the earrings in their ears and studs in their ears, their pointed hair and their way they dress?
Amen.
I'd be the first to say it's ungodly. But all that means is they're without God. Everybody's without God's ungodly, by the way. But I wonder if we can look beyond all of that and see in there a soul. That's going to a place called hell. Where there's torments. And one of those torments is a flame. A flash. A burning fire that is going to be tormenting them. May I say to you, there's another thing that man was tormented by. Not only the fear and the flame, but you know what? You know what tormented him? His memory about his family. Suddenly he gets concerned about his family. And he said, well, if you won't send Lazarus here, if Lazarus can't come here, he said, sit in my house, I got five brothers. It's awful strange how all of a sudden he gets awful evangelistic.
Yeah.
He wasn't even concerned about himself while he was living.
Right.
But when he got in hell, he got real evangelistic. Send him to my father's house. I've got five brethren. Let him testify to them. Let they come to this awful place. You know what I believe Lazarus was? I believe he was a lost religious man. Well, they said let him testify unto them.
Yeah.
Lost people don't know too much about testifying.
Amen.
God said, no, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, oh, no, Father Abraham, if one rose from the grave, that knocks the Pentecostals in the head and charismatic. If one rose from the grave, they'd believe him. Lord said, no, he wouldn't. If they won't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe even if one rises from the grave. Now I'm going to tell you, I wonder how many funerals we've been to. Saw men laying in a casket or women in a casket. Their family not shedding a tear over them. I bet them five brothers wasn't shedding a tear. And here's this man in hell saying, send Lazarus to my brothers. I wonder how many times we've had friends and relatives lay in that casket. And knowing they're in hell. And we've really got a concern in our heart and went to their family. And just been honest with them. You know, today we don't want... I could get so ticked off. Bless God. In today's society, they don't know nobody go to hell anymore. They don't have a funeral you go to. They're all saying they can live drunk all their life and die and go to heaven, all of them. I'll tell you, that preacher will see some way that he gets them into heaven one way or the other. And I'm telling you, a man died without Christ, he's going to hell, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder if we can look at their families and laying in that casket and go to them in all honesty and say, you know, your so-and-so died and went to hell, and you know you're going there if you don't get right with God. Now I'm telling you, folks, I preached years ago and hell ain't no laughing matter, and it's not.
Amen.
Some of you young people in here can laugh about it today. Some of you older ones may be scorning it. But it's not a laughing matter, and I'm going to tell you, your blood's not on my hands. Because I've told you that the way and the only way is Christ and His blood.
Amen.
Through faith in His blood.
Amen.
What makes a man whole.
Amen.
Now, I want to move right on. Somebody said, good. I'll tell you something else we look in this book. This is a good part of it. I like it. We can not only see the face of self and the face of sinners, the face of soul dying and going to hell, but we can see the face of the Savior. Woo! Notice back in our text, in verse 18 of chapter 1 of James, it said, Of his own will, begat he us with the word of truth. He did. Who's he talking about? Talking about Jesus. You look into his Facebook, I'm going to tell you, you're going to see the Savior. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
I'd much rather see Jesus than anybody on the internet, Facebook.
Amen.
So I said, oh, I like to look on there. I like to look at them young chicks on there. I like to look at them hunks. I'm going to tell you what a hunk is, piece of flesh. I'll tell you what a chick is, piece of flesh. I'm going to tell you what Jesus is. He's Almighty God.
Amen.
I'd rather see the face of Jesus, woo, than any person I know in this world.
Amen.
You can have her all. Give me Him, hallelujah. Give me Him.
Amen.
He's the one that loved me and died in my place. Give me Him.
Amen.
Now, how are you going to see His face? Well, you can see His face as shining face. I don't have time to turn there. My time's gone. But in Matthew 17, he took Peter, James, and John and went up on that Mount of Transfiguration. In verse 2 of that chapter, it said, and his face did shine as the sun.
Yep.
That's talking about his glory.
Amen.
Most of us don't know much about the glory of God.
Yep.
But I'm going to tell you, we saw him in his transformed body. His raiment was white and glistening, the Bible said. And his face, it did shine. Woo! You know why it shined? Same reason Moses shined. It's because the glory of God was upon him. Oh, and I'd rather look in the face of Jesus and see his glory than anything else in this world. That's right. You can see his face shining. I know it's getting hot in here. Some of you getting droopy-eyed. You look in the Bible, you not only see his faces. Shining face, but you can see a steadfast face.
Amen.
In Luke 9:51, when he got ready to go die, the Bible said he steadfastly
in verse 51, chapter 9 of Luke. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. What a Savior. Nothing could stop him. Nothing could hinder him. Nothing got in his way. You know, we let every little thing today upset our apple cart. We get bent out of joint about every little old thing that happens. We get upset and bent out of joint over it. And you know, the only thing we're doing is hurting ourselves, because it's causing us to stumble along the way. You know, listening to what I'm saying? But Christ wasn't that way. When it come time for him to be offered up, sacrifice time, knowing he's going to die, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And to Jerusalem he went, knowing when he got there, he was going to die. Then I'm going to tell you something else. You know, you see his face is shining, his face is steadfast. But you can see a solemn face. If you look in chapter 20 and verse 11 of the book of Revelation, he's sitting on a white throne. That Bible said, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. He's not smiling anymore. He's not shining anymore. There's no more mercy. Grace has run out. He's sitting on the white throne to judge the lost. Not to find out whether you are lost, but to judge those that are lost. And their final justice will be to be cast into, the Bible said, a lake of fire. I'm going to tell you, his face is so stern and so solemn, the earth said, I can't look upon it. And it flew away. And heaven said, I can't look upon it. It flew away. And there was no place found for them. In other words, they couldn't hide from him. They could not hide from him. They flew away. They fled away, but they couldn't hide from him.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, neither can you, sinner man or sinner woman. Now, for all you folks out there that like this, I could throw this out. I hope some of you laugh. You look in the face of the Savior, you'll see a shining face and a steadfast face and a solemn face. But you might see a shaved face. That got some of you, didn't it? I had to throw that in because it was alliterated with the rest of it. You know I'm not against the beard. You know that. It's right. I'm not. I don't like them. But I don't find no Bible for me to be against them. Simple as that. And finally, I want to tell you, if you look into this God's Facebook, you'll see the face of the saved. The Bible said in verse 18, of his own will begat he us. Regenerated. That's what that word begat. Can I say this? And I don't want to sound off color, and I hope I'm not. It's in the Strong's. And I hope you won't think this is off color. But the Strong says literally what that word begat means is to breed forth. That makes him our Father.
Amen.
It means to regenerate.
Amen.
It means to be born again.
Amen.
Of his own will. Not man's will.
Amen.
Now this is going to knock some of you off. And not your will.
Amen.
Of his own will.
Well,
I said, why are you saved? Why'd God love you? God just loved us. That's all I can say.
Amen.
I know some of you don't like that. Bunch of free willers. And I'll tell you, you'll see a rejoicing face. I don't know, in Acts chapter number 3, Peter and John set their eyes on him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus, and Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that old boy got up from begging it at that temple gate. And went running into the temple, running and leaping and praising God. When was the last time you come into the house of God running and leaping and praising God? Now, I don't necessarily say, I said a while ago, that leaping and jumping and all that is not necessarily a sign of somebody worshiping God or being spiritual. But that don't mean you're not spiritual.
Amen.
He did it. It's in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
The last time I looked at leaped, it means leaped.
Amen.
And the last time I looked at running and run.
Amen.
When was the last time we came into the house of God with that kind of joy in our heart?
Right. Yep.
Amen.
you'll see a rejoicing face. And I'm closing with this. You'll see a relieved face. Can you imagine, remember how you were? You were loaded down with all that sin. And how your countenance was so drooped. You were burdened and loaded down. Jesus passed by your way like He did Bartimaeus. Like He did the man at Bethesda. Like He did Lazarus. I could name others. And lifted that load. Like the man in chapter 3 of Acts. I'll guarantee you, when that burden was lifted, it put a smile on their face. You could just about do plastic surgery on most Baptists and then not get a smile on. I think we all need to go to Japan or China where it was and get one of them new faces like that guy sewing on people. Oh no. I'll tell you about that after a while. A relief face. Burdens are gone. Sins are gone. Saved, finally saved. Sealed, and on our way to heaven by the grace of God. You can see that if you look in this book. I don't think I'm going. I'm just not. Maybe I'm going. It's not that I've got it, but I can lose it. Not go. I'm going. And I can tell you why. I've been to Calvary. I've been to Calvary. If I could sing, I'd sing that song. I've been to Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. Let's all stand together.